Okay.
Let somebody. We'll get a bucket. I'll take the harmonium.
Okay.
Yeah. She's.
You want to play?
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shribashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadhish ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai. Shri La Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. So just as I came in with Subhas Prabhu, one of our congregation devotees, Mr. Soni, right? Mr. Soni approached Subhas Prabhu with a check and he wanted 5 cases of Bhagavad Gita to be distributed. The distribution of Bhagavad Gita is considered to be one of the most auspicious spiritual activities. Why? Because it is the distribution of the most elevated transcendental knowledge. We can give very many things to benefit people. Like we can give people food, we can give them money, we can give them shelter, we can give them protection. We can give various kind of things and they all are considered to be benevolent activities. But of all such benevolent activities, distribution of spiritual knowledge has been considered to be of the highest category. And of the transcendental knowledge, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita has been considered to be the highest. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is the scripture which records the statements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead about Himself.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking about who He is. And He is in this way enlightening everyone with the informations about the spiritual knowledge or the informations about the spiritual world. The word Veda means knowledge. But Vedas signify very special kind of knowledge. According to the Vedic understanding, the knowledge or so-called knowledge about the spirit of about the material nature is not considered to be knowledge. The informations about material nature, informations about the things pertaining to the material nature, hasn't been considered to be knowledge. Rather, they have been considered to be ignorance. Knowledge about material nature is ignorance. The term that has been used in that respect is avidya. Vidya means knowledge, and avidya means ignorance. Now, what is vidya? Vidya is the knowledge about the transcendental nature, the spiritual nature. Whereas, the informations about the material nature, so-called knowledge about the material nature, has been considered to be avidya, or ignorance. The more we know about the material nature, the more we actually become entangled in the material nature, and which causes us ignorance. This material nature is illusory. It is not real reality. It is an illusory reality. It is real, but it is illusory reality, temporary reality. It's not going to be here forever. It appears for some time and it disappears. It becomes manifested for some time and then it becomes unmanifest. Therefore, in the Vedas, material nature hasn't been taken that seriously. Rather, this material nature has been considered to be a place where we prepare ourselves to get into the real reality or the spiritual reality. So, in this way we can get to know that when the Vedas are imparting the knowledge, or which literally means, the word Veda means knowledge. It's coming from the root word Vid. Vid means to know. And Veda means that has been known, or knowledge. Now, Vedas are dealing with spiritual reality. Although some parts of the Vedas are dealing with the material nature also, but that's only a temporary phase to come up to the, some steps to come up to the real platform of reality. The Vedas have a section called Karma Kanda that deals with the material nature. In a way, it actually describes how to live in the material nature. But the purpose of that is to transcend the material nature. Karma Kanda leads to Jnana Kanda. Although apparently Karma Kanda is dealing with different types of material involvement, but the purpose of that is to transcend the material nature. And Jnana Kanda extensively deals with how to get out of the material nature. So we can see that the purpose of involvement in the material nature is to realize that this is not the place where we should be. Get involved to realize that this is not where you want to be. Therefore, it is actually taking us to the next platform, how to get out of the material nature, through the Jnana Kanda section of the Vedas. And then it comes to the ultimate objective of the Vedic wisdom, that is, to become situated in a pure spiritual platform by developing our loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Vedic wisdom in that way flows in different branches. Vedas have different branches. Like Vedas have six limbs. The Vedas have six branches of philosophy. Vedas deal with three types of sections or khandas, karma khanda, jnana khanda, and then finally devotional service. The Vedas have different branches, like history. The history that deals with the chronological description of the happenings, important happenings, from the time of creation. So that is the Vedic history. Not just the temporary history dealing with some king's rule, represented by some motivated individuals. No, it is the chronological record of the important happenings in this universe since the time of creation. Then Vedas have different other branches like Dharma Shastra. And in this way, there are two main branches of the Vedas are known as Upanishads and Puranas. The Upanishads are the sections of the Vedic wisdom that has been received from a teacher by a student. Literally the word Upanishad means the knowledge that has been acquired by sitting close or sitting at the feet of a self-realized soul. That is the meaning of the word Upanishad. And there are 108 Upanishads. And of all these 108 Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita has been considered to be the best or the highest. Why Bhagavad Gita is an Upanishad? As I described earlier, the definition of Upanishad is the knowledge that has been received from a qualified teacher by a student. That is what Upanishad is. Now when we read Bhagavad Gita, what do we find? Who is speaking Bhagavad Gita? Krishna. And who is the student who is receiving the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? Arjuna. So does it fall in the category of Upanishad in that description? The knowledge that has been received from a qualified teacher or a bona fide teacher. Who can be a better teacher than Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is teaching, imparting the knowledge. And the student is Arjuna. So, that's why Bhagavad Gita has been classified as Upanishad. But still, Bhagavad Gita doesn't actually fall in this category of 108 Upanishads. It's a very special Upanishad. What kind of Upanishad this Bhagavad Gita is? Regarding that, it has been described, the Sarva Upanishado Gavo. All the Upanishads have been compared to a cow. And Dogdha Gopala Nandana. The Gopala Nandan, the cowherd boy, Krishna, is the personality who milked that cow. Now, what is the purpose of a cow? The real purpose of a cow is to get the milk. And the cow gives milk for the sake of the calf. So who is the calf? Arjuna is the calf. Vatsa Partha. Partha or Arjuna is the calf. And Dugdham Gitam Mritam Mahat. And the milk is the nectarian wisdom, nectarian knowledge that came from Krishna. He milked the cow. And what is the milked? Here the milk is the nectar from the cow that is representing or symbolizing all the Upanishads. So in this way we can see that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. Now what is the purpose of Upanishads? To get that spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Now transcendental knowledge generally deals with three factors, three subjects or three topics. Generally, transcendental knowledge deals with three topics or three subjects. Those three subjects are living entities, jiva, material nature, prakriti, and Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when we approach Bhagavad Gita, we see that about these three things, it gives a very, very clear understanding. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, practically, Krishna is telling Arjuna about the living entities. Who are the jivas? Jivas, Krishna is saying, has two aspects. Material body and his spiritual identity. Body is made of matter. But by nature, matter is inert. Isn't it? Matter is inert. But although our bodies are made of matter, these bodies are not inert. Are our bodies inert? No. Why not? Because of the presence of the soul in the body. Not only our bodies, wherever we see life, we have to understand that there is a soul in the body. So that is the first thing that Krishna explained. And he pointed out that the living entities are actually dehis, or the proprietor of the body. The body is there, but the body is not the real identity of the individual. The body is simply an external covering, like a dress. Just as we wear a dress, this body is like a dress. And less intelligent people may identify themselves with the body, but actually, an intelligent person realizes the fact that his real identity is not the body, but the spiritual self. And for to the self is the proprietor of the body, and the body is just an external covering. Dehi noshmin jatha dehe kumaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra namuihati. This is one of the first things that Krishna told Arjuna while he started to advise Arjuna on this subject matter. And he made a discrimination between the body and the proprietor of the body, deha and dehi. Many of you are coming from Indian background here, so you know the difference. The deha and dehi. So Krishna is saying dehi is the personality and the body is his property. So the body goes through different changes. Krishna is saying the body goes through different changes like childhood, boyhood, youth, old age. Isn't it? Now although the body changes, childhood to youth to old age, but the personality remains the same. So in this way, just from this, in this one verse, Krishna actually makes this point absolutely clear. Like we can consider, there was a time when we had a young boy's or a young girl's body. Say when you are 5 years old. That body was a small little body. But today this body has changed completely from that. Now, in spite of the change of the bodies, we remain the same. Like when we say I, that I when I was 5, when I was 15, when I was 25 and so forth is the same I. And Krishna pointed out that I is the self. Our real identity is that I who doesn't change in spite of the change of the bodies. And then Krishna is saying that in spite of the change of the bodies, the self doesn't change. The identity of the personality doesn't change. Right? Therefore, at one point, when one leaves his body, the I remains the same. That means at the time of death, what actually happens is the self, the soul, leaves the body, and when he leaves the body becomes dead. To begin with, the body is actually a dead body. Let us consider, this body is made of what? This body is made of matter. Right? Now, matter, is matter dead or alive? Don't we say dead matter? Inert. Matter is inert. Matter is dead. Now, this body is made of matter. So, what this body is? It's a dead body. Right? But because of the presence of the soul in the body, that the body is alive. And when the soul leaves the body, what happens? The body dies. Right? Dead body becomes dead. Now in this context, we can consider the birth is actually the soul's acceptance of a new body. Right? And death is soul's departure from the old body. And life is the period between birth and death. The soul's acceptance of a new body and soul's departure from the old body. So this wonderful point has been made by Krishna in that one particular verse. And in this way, Krishna now goes to the next point. The difference between body and soul has been established. Has it been? In your minds? How many of you think that it has been the point has been established? Okay. Now Krishna is going to the next point. Now, what is the soul? Now about the soul, Krishna is saying, this soul is never born, nor does it ever die. The next point. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. The soul is never born. Na jayate. Jayate means to be, to take birth. And na means not. The soul is, soul never takes birth. Soul is never born. Then what is birth? I just mentioned about that a little while ago. Birth is soul's acceptance of a new body. Soul is never born. It is the body that is born. Soul accepts a new body. That is birth. And mriyate va kadachin, nor does the soul ever die. The soul is unborn and soul is eternal. Immortal. Nayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuya. The soul is ever existing. The souls that are there, that they were always there and they will always be there. And then, step by step, Krishna is pointing out that the soul can, soul is not affected by any condition of this material nature. Nainam chinnanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, na chainam kledayanta apo, nayam shoshayati marutaha. The soul soul cannot be cut by any weapon. Nainam chinnanti shastrani. Nainam dahati pavakaha, the soul cannot be burnt by fire. Na chainam kledayant apah. It cannot be affected by water, or it cannot be dried by air. So soul is completely unaffected by all these factors. And then in this way Krishna pointed out who we are and what is our nature. Now you tell me, what is our nature in reality? In reality we are unborn and we are immortal. But the problem is that we are identifying ourselves with the body, which is perishable. But through this body we are actually trying to develop the qualities of the spirit soul. The soul is immortal, right? But since we are identifying ourselves with the body, we are endeavoring to make this body immortal. But will it ever happen? The body will never become immortal. The soul naturally wants to be conscious, but this body will not be completely conscious. And the soul naturally is joyful, and the soul is trying to derive that joy out of his endeavors of through these bodies. Will that ever happen? No. And in this respect, Prabhupada is giving the example that you take a fish out of the water and put him on the land. Will the fish be happy? Why not? Because what the fish needs will never find in the water, in the land, or on the land. On the land, you may offer all the luxuries and pleasures of this land to the fish. Will the fish be happy? No. But take the fish back into water, what will happen? Immediately it will start to jump or swim in joy. So similarly, we are spiritual entities. We are spiritual beings. But we are trying to derive all those spiritual requirements, our spiritual hankering, spiritual needs, through our through this material nature, or through our involvement in the material nature. And as result is, what is the result? Disappointment. Frustration. And that's why everyone in this world is unhappy. Whether you live in Los Angeles or whether you live in Timbuktu, you will always be unhappy. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, you'll always remain unhappy. Why? Because you're trying to find something through this body which is never going to be available to you. Now, as I said, take the fish back into water. What will happen? Do you have to offer the fish a skyscraper? Or a Mercedes-Benz? No. The fish will immediately become joyful. Similarly, Krishna is pointing out that you are a spiritual entity and you have to go back to your spiritual identity. And then Krishna is pointing out what is that spiritual identity? The spiritual identity of an individual is that he is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his fulfillment of his existence lies in being connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Did I jump into a conclusion here? Or should I explain it shortly, briefly? Okay, consider this finger is a part of my body. Now, the existence of when the finger becomes isolated from the body, what happens to the finger? It's lost, it's meaningless, right? But when it is connected to the body, it has so many utility, right? And what makes this finger connected to the body? Because it's... Yes? Somebody... Yes? Soul is there. Okay. The point is, it is through service that a part becomes connected to the whole. The point, okay, so this point, let's try to explain this point. Take a leaf of a tree. when the leaf is connected to the tree, what the leaf is doing? It is, although it may be a very tiny little part of the tree, but it is performing certain activities towards the tree, right? A leaf is whatever, as you all know, that it takes the, it transforms the energy from the sun in through the chlorophyll, and which is providing the food for the tree. Now, as long as the leaf is connected to the tree, it is a part of the tree. As long as the leaf is rendering some service to the tree, it is connected to the tree. But when the leaf stops to render that service, what happens? When the leaf doesn't do the job that it is meant to do, when it ceases to do that, what happens? The leaf becomes isolated from the tree, falls out of the tree, right? Similarly, we all are parts and parcels of Krishna. So our link with Krishna is through our service to Krishna. And when you stop to render service to Krishna, we become isolated from Krishna. And when you become isolated from Krishna, then what happens to our existence? It is meaningless. In that respect, Prabhupada gave an example that a small little screw in a very complex machine. Like when the screw is connected to the machine, the screw is very, very important, very valuable. But when the screw becomes isolated from the machine and lying on the floor, what is the value of the screw? Its value is somebody will sweep it and put it in the dustbin. Isn't it? So that's what happened to us. That's what happens to us when we become isolated from Krishna. But when we remain connected to Krishna, then our existence is very valuable. But when you become isolated from Krishna, our existence doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. The only person who thinks that our existence is meaningful is one himself. He thinks that he is the most important personality. But actually, in the context of this world, we see that he doesn't have any importance at all. Like when a person dies, what happens? Does the world stop to exist? So many so-called big, big personalities. What happened after they died? The world forgets. In most cases, the people don't even remember that they ever existed. That is the importance of a living entity's identity. When he is isolated from Krishna. But when a living entity remains connected to Krishna, then he is very, very important. And that's why Krishna is pointing out that the ultimate goal of everybody is to become connected to Krishna. And what is the prerequisite for being connected to Krishna? Surrender to Krishna. And therefore, the final instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Krishna is saying that give up all your nonsense. No matter how important you think those activities are, just give them up. Krishna even used the word dharma, Sarva Dharman. Give up your even so-called religion. So-called religious affiliations. And just surrender unto me. Now, isn't it a very contradictory statement? Krishna says, in one hand, Krishna told us in Bhagavad Gita, that whenever there is a decline of religious principles, then he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah, abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijam maham. Krishna is saying that whenever there is a decline of dharma and irreligiosity prevails, then he comes to re-establish dharma. He comes to establish dharma, but now Krishna is saying that sarva dharman parityajya, give up all your so-called dharma. Why? Because Krishna is saying, after saying that, give up your so-called religious activities, what Krishna is saying, surrender unto me. And by saying that, Krishna is actually implying that that is dharma. To surrender to Krishna is dharma. And whatever goes on in the name of dharma is meaningless, useless activities. So he is saying that give up all those useless activities and just surrender unto me. And when you do that, then only you'll become situated in dharma. And then what is the consequence of surrendering to Krishna? Krishna is saying that I will deliver you from all your sinful reactions, don't worry. So that is the reward. We surrender unto Krishna and Krishna takes care of us. And we don't have to worry about ourselves anymore. Krishna himself is making that point. Ma sucheha, don't worry. Just surrender unto me and you don't have to worry. Do you believe that? Okay, thank you. So that is the most important consideration. Actually, our life is so full of worries and anxieties in the material nature, isn't it? Only the children don't have any worry. Now let us consider why the children don't have any worry or anxiety. Because they know that the parents are there and they will take care of them. But when they grow up, then they can't depend upon the parents. Rather, they have to take care of the parents. And they have to be on their own. They have to make all the arrangements. They have to pay all the bills. So there's so much anxiety. Now, if we can find somebody who is able to take care of us, won't it immediately free us from our anxiety? If somebody comes and says, okay, from now on you won't have to worry about yourself anymore. All your bills, all your debts, all your mortgage, I will pay. Then how will you feel? Won't you feel relieved and won't you immediately become free from anxiety? And that's exactly what Krishna is saying. That you surrender unto me and I will take care of you in all respects. Now you may say, well, will Krishna pay for my mortgage? My answer is yes. If you surrender yourself to Krishna in that way, he will take not only your mortgage, he'll take care of everything. Everything. Mortgage is an insignificant thing. Your debts, your monthly bills, they are insignificant. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadhish Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. So isn't it a wonderful opportunity? Isn't it a wonderful condition? You surrender unto Krishna and Krishna will take care of you. So how many of you want to surrender to Krishna? Thank you. So, in brief, I just wanted to explain what Bhagavad Gita is presenting, what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, and by following Bhagavad Gita, what we will achieve. Now, isn't it the most important knowledge to offer to everybody? Isn't this the greatest beneficial activity or benevolent activity? So that is why it is very important that we accept Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita or instructions of Bhagavad Gita ourselves and mold our lives accordingly and inspire others also to do so. Thank you all very much. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. So if you have a question, just say the question. Sit down there and tell the question. Tell us.
First of all, that was a phenomenal lecture.
Thank you.
Excuse my ignorance and ask.
No, it's perfectly all right.
Why why do we need a material body? Why does the soul need a material body to go back to Godhead?
Uh-huh.
Why do we need this brain to develop Krishna?
Okay, very good.
Not do it by itself.
Very good.
Another very simple question is.
Let me first answer the first question. Did everybody hear the question? His question is, why does the soul need the material body to go back to Krishna? Actually, soul doesn't need the material body to go back to Krishna. But when the soul leaves Krishna, then he becomes trapped in this material body. It's like a bondage. It's like imprisonment. It's a punishment. Right? And of all kinds of material bodies, when one gets the human form of body, then he gets an opportunity to get out of this bondage of this material nature and go back to Krishna, provided he utilizes his body properly. Now, what's your second question?
This is a much stupider question.
No.
When the cow gives milk, first the farmers put the calf to the cow's udders before it releases milk. Here they put machines which takes care of that. But if the cow is giving milk for the calf, why is it then? Why are humans allowed to drink that?
Okay, very good point. Another very good point. It was not at all a stupid question. It was a very intelligent question. And that's why I wanted you to ask the question in public so that everybody can benefit. The point is, yes, the first thing is that the cow gives milk with the calf as the immediate object. But the purpose of the milk is not just to feed the calf, but to give it to the human being. Like anyone who has any experience in farming or taking care of cows knows that when the calf drinks the milk of the cow, all the milk of the cow, then the calf becomes sick. So the purpose of cow's milk is, of course, you know, for the sake of the calf. But the ultimate purpose is actually to give it to the human beings. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes? Okay. Yeah. I can put that question in a little roundabout way. I'll give you the answer. The mother, when she becomes old and doesn't render any service to you, will it be all right to? Naturally not. So it's, you see, like gratitude is a natural human quality. When somebody does something good to us, we naturally should reciprocate by doing something beneficial for that person, not get rid of that person. The cows gave us milk, the most vital and substantial foodstuff for us. And when the cows stop giving milk, okay, now send her to the slaughterhouse and eat the meat. That is not human culture. That's a demoniac culture. Yes?
The example given, leaf and the tree.
Yeah.
If the leaf stops its function.
Yeah.
Falls. It dies. All the leaves stop the function, fall, die. The tree dies. But in the case of...
No, it's that the other way around. When the tree dies, then all the leaves fall off. Right? It's not that...
Our simile was, the tree is God, and the leaf is a human being.
No, that simile won't apply. That simile won't apply. And also, your point also is not correct. It's not flawless. Like, the answer can be given, okay, in autumn, all the leaves fall off. Does the tree die? Does the tree die? Still, the tree continues to live. So... tree's existence is not dependent upon the leaves. Rather, the leaf's existence is dependent upon the tree. Yes.
You said, leave dharma. Krishna says, leave dharma and surrender to me. Your dharma is to surrender to me. Then what sort of dharma is asking Arjun to leave and surrender to me? Then what is dharma?
Yeah, dharma is to surrender to Krishna and serve him. That is the dharma. You say, okay, I'll explain this point.
If someone is a devotee of Shiva and he still pray for Krishna, then what does that mean?
Shiva also is a devotee of Krishna. So if you become a devotee of the devotee of Krishna, then you're also becoming a devotee of Krishna. Right? Okay, and as you are saying that what kind of dharma it is, how serving Krishna is the dharma, I just wanted to elaborate on that point a little bit. You see, the Sanskrit word dharma means the inherent characteristics of a substance. Right? For example, water is liquid. Right? The inherent characteristics of water is liquid. Now, what is the dharma of water? Liquidity, right? The inherent characteristics of a substance is the dharma of the substance. Similarly, fire is a substance. And what are the inherent characteristics of fire? Heat and light. Now that heat and light is the dharma of fire. Now soul is a substance, right? And what is the inherent characteristics of the soul? Very good. Yeah, to love God. So that is the dharma of the soul. And how do you express your love? By doing something. So that action is dharma. The way you express your love to God, that is dharma.
Then why you say, leave your dharma and surrender to me?
Krishna is saying that any other activity that besides serving Krishna, give up those activities that goes on in the name of dharma. And just surrender unto Krishna and serve him, love him, that is dharma. All right? Thank you. Yes? Yeah. Okay. Another very good question. You see, the soul is a part of Krishna, but a soul has been endowed with minute intelligence. And it is due to that intelligence it can decide what he wants to do. He has the prerogative, he has the freedom to decide for himself what he wants to do. So Krishna has given that ability to a living entity. It's the minute independence. Now, you may question why Krishna gave that minute independence. Is because Krishna's relationship with the living entities is that of love. Krishna wants that living entities should love him. Now, love cannot be forced. Right? One must decide for himself whether he would love or not. Now, when we love Krishna, when we use our intelligence to love Krishna, then we are situated with Krishna. But when we decide not to love Krishna, then we become isolated from Krishna. That is why that... Okay, I get your point. So those who didn't get the chance, for whom it is not available, let us not consider that. Let us consider that those who have the opportunity, what are they going to do? Right? So those who have the opportunity, they must accept this opportunity. Yes? Hare Krishna.
My question is that the devotee is thinking about going to India, but they are scared because they fear they may make an offense. Is that a trick of Maya, or should they just wait
Well, when you get an opportunity to do something, to get some, take some advantage. Now, if you think, well, if something happens, if something goes wrong, therefore I wouldn't take this opportunity. Is it an intelligent approach? No. When the opportunity came, take advantage of that opportunity, even if there is a possibility of committing offenses. Right? So if you get an opportunity to go to India and become a, take advantage of the Holy Dham, take advantage of that opportunity. Yes?
You gave several examples. You gave the example of a fish, and you gave the example of when we surrender to Krishna that he can take care of us just like a parent. Now, obviously, these are both material situations where when he pays the mortgage and when he pays our bills. And the fish being happy in the water, I mean, just like anybody would be happy if they had a big house and no more bills. So I'm also trying to understand, because the word material comes from the word mother, you know, mate in Latin. So we all come from mothers in this world, and then we try to be happy. And you're saying that Krishna is giving us knowledge, which is making other knowledge seem like ignorance. Now, I've been in ignorance a lot, so I can appreciate that. Not taking care of the family, not taking care of the girls, not working inside of this system of material nature that is set up, but instead trying to avert the system. And, oh, I just pray. I don't want to participate, get an education, work, and just accept the system as it is. So I'm trying to understand how this knowledge is different than pure ignorance. Because pure ignorance also, I want to accept the system is crazy. I don't need to work. I don't need to. the happiness that you receive just being like a fish getting water. Yes, if any of us hits the lottery, then we can have that kind of happiness. But where's the spirit, spiritual happiness?
Okay, first of all, you see the examples, you know, are in order to make certain point. Therefore, only that aspect of the example that indicate that should be accepted, not the example as a totality. I'll first explain that point. Like, for example, it is said sometimes, you know, showing the moon, you say, look at that branch of the tree, and there the moon is, right? Now, when you say, look at the branch of the tree, it's the purpose is not to point at the tree, but the purpose is to point at the moon. But through the branch of the tree, you are actually indicating the moon. That's the purpose of example. Okay. So first is, example shouldn't be taken in totality, but in order to understand what it is actually trying to imply. And the second consideration is that here, the examples that we gave about a fish, it is the purpose of that example is to indicate that when one is in his natural constitutional position, then he becomes happy. In his constitutional position, when one is situated in his constitutional position, then he is naturally becomes happy. So a fish in water, if the fish belongs to water, therefore, fish out of the water is going to be miserable. And in water, it's going to be happy. So the purpose of that example is that we are spiritual beings. So if we really want to be happy, then we must become situated in our spiritual identity. That is the purpose of that example. Right? Now, as you are saying that, well, by getting a lottery, I may be happy. But for how long? For how long? No, not as long as the fish. As long as your money lasts. And the thing is, the main point actually is, one does not become happy in this material nature, no matter whatever he gets. Like, what to speak of getting a lottery? There are many people who have billions of dollars. They don't have to win a lottery, right? They can give out a few million dollars, you know, like the coins from their pockets, right? But are they happy? Why not? Okay, become a millionaire and you'll see it yourself. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, just use, you know, like, just, you know, use your common sense, right? That no matter whatever amount of money you may have, you are not going to be happy, because material nature is a miserable place where everyone is subjected to all kinds of sufferings. Because it is not our constitutional position. Naturally, we are spiritual beings, so we belong to the spiritual world. And material nature is an alien place. And that is why we are not happy here. Through our material body, we can never derive joy. So that is the point that we are trying to make. Yes. Household goal? Well, there are different types of, there are different ways of receiving bodies, right? There are bodies that are received from seeds, like plants. There are bodies that are received from the sweat or water condition. There are bodies that are received from eggs, and there are bodies that are received from embryos. So, in all conditions, it is a matter of the soul entering into a certain condition. Like, for example, through the living entities that receive their bodies through embryo, it is through the father's sperm, the spirit soul enters into the ovum of the mother, and there it develops. The soul actually enters into the ovum, and there it develops the body. And the different types of bodies will have different types of conditions and different types of duration to receive that body. No, there is life in the sperm, not in the ovum, until it's impregnated. Anyway, let's not divert into another direction. Okay, any other question? Yes. Yeah, I answered that question just a little while ago by saying that a soul or a living entity has been endowed with minute intelligence. I mean, minute independence. He has the freedom to decide what he wants. Right? Therefore, the soul has the freedom to decide whether he will stay with Krishna or whether he will reject Krishna. So when a soul rejects Krishna, then he falls into the material nature.
Why does it reject them?
Don't ask questions like that. Why? I know it happened. It happened. You are an example yourself. Why don't you ask yourself why? Okay, the question is not why. The point is that this is why you have left Krishna and you are suffering. And this is the way you can go back to Krishna. Are you prepared to go back to Krishna? You have the independence, isn't it? Whether you'll become a devotee of Krishna or not. Do you have the independence? I'm asking you.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do about that?
But
not but. Answer my question. You have the independence. What are you going to do about that?
Will you choose to go back?
See, choose to go back. And what are you going to do about that?
Do service.
Right. Surrender unto Krishna, render service.
It was my bliss to be with him. Why did I come?
Don't worry about it. The point is that you are here. You have rejected Krishna. You have become isolated from Krishna. Why? We don't know. Actually, the point is that the reason for our falling down into the material nature lies in the spiritual reality, the spiritual domain. So unless and until we go back to the spiritual nature, we'll not be able to find out why. Therefore, the point is, don't waste your time pondering over the why, right? But consider how you're going to go back to Krishna. So, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.